Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fearless Generations. This is Kelly Fox, your host. And tonight we are continuing our discussion of the 12 Steps to Freedom, Step 12, Love, with the emphasis tonight on boundaries. I am currently on the call by myself, but hopefully Terry Sayer, our lovely other host, will be joining me soon. Tonight we are leaving for our fly retreat, so we are a little busy. But we still wanted to get on the call and be here for you and for ourselves and talk about the next emphasis in 12, in step 12, love, which is boundaries. Normally we would give a little talk about our week, but I don't have anyone to ask about their week about. So, I have been practicing boundaries this week. And just really thinking about saying yes to myself and just seeing how things felt and what was comfortable and what wasn't comfortable. And I think that boundaries are very important when you are learning to love yourself, and they're important with the people we love, to respect the boundaries they have, and also to encourage them to respect ours. And I think that that makes the relationship healthier that way. And your boundaries could be, you know, whatever it is that that you feel necessary. I mean, some people don't like a lot of physical contact, and so your boundary could be, you know, a short side hug, or your boundary could be, a handshake, depending on the relationship level with the person that you're in contact with. So boundaries can be all sorts of things. And I think when we're loving ourselves, and it's a new process of really being aware and being willing to explore what that means. And it'll be a process of figuring out what those boundaries are. Where is that line that you need to draw and say, you know, this is how much I can give, and then the rest is for myself, or it's for my family, or it's for this, or it's for that. Where are those lines that you need to draw so that you don't go past loving yourself into those realms of, you know, being a people pleaser or being a yes man or whatever those boundaries might hold you back from going over. So it's all a process of discovering what those boundaries are, where they're needed, where they're not needed, and who they're needed with. Because certain people are going to go across those boundaries and other people aren't. So some people have their own boundaries set for themselves. Some people don't. So it's just learning that process and figuring out what works for you, what works for those around you, and asking for what you need and what you what supports you, and also asking that of other people. Some other people may not know what it is. You can explain it to them. You can ask them what are the things that, you know, what are their boundaries? How can you support them in discovering theirs? It's all a process when you're first learning how to have boundaries and set boundaries with yourself. So it's still a learning process for me. I'm not great at setting boundaries because I just want to give, And but then I'm left kind of empty. So I need to set those boundaries with myself and say, okay, how much can you give, Kelly? With how much can you really give? And then set that boundary with myself, because I don't have a lot of people that ask for a lot of me, well, except for maybe my kids, but that's what they're there for. I tend to just overgive. And so it's setting that boundary with myself and saying, okay, this is how far you can go. And then that has to be good enough for me. Because I tend to think, oh, I could have given more. I need to give more. But it's not always possible to do that. And so that's a learning process that I've been going through, learning where that line is for me. How much can I give and say that was good? And then let that be, instead of wanting to do more and worrying about it and fretting over it and, you know, almost sometimes making myself sick over it because I don't feel like I'm doing enough or giving enough. And so that's kind of the process that I've been going through, even leading up into this month, which is kind of interesting because I've said before, it seems like when these things come up for me, in the order that they're in, they're also coming up for me in my life. And so I have this wonderful opportunity to practice this step right along with all of our listeners with you. And so it's very exciting to see how this process goes. Last week with Janet, we talked about no judgment and not judging ourselves and not judging others and the love that letting that love for ourselves kind of take that judgment away. And I have a tendency to judge myself a lot. And, we were talking with Janet last week about you know, how I put all this judgment on homework or my learning capability, my attitude towards homework. Those were all judgments that I was putting on those things. And so it was already going to just even stepping into it was already a negative energy, a negative space, because I had all these judgments on all of those things and on myself and my ability to help my kids with their homework. And if, you know, just releasing that judgment on myself and on the act itself. In this case, we were talking about homework, but it could be put towards anything, and just seeing how loving myself and believing in myself and my abilities, you know, what would that bring forth in those circumstances? And with setting boundaries, it's just another place that we can step into and say, okay, loving myself in this moment, you know, how can I better support myself to remain full or remain motivated or keep my commitments or keep my intentions? What is my willingness around this? And just really opening up about your awareness and having compassion on yourself by holding yourself accountable. I mean, each step always fits in to all of the other steps. So we can always access all of those other steps that we've already learned and help us to move into this new area or this new arena of practice, which is boundaries, and coming from a place of self-love. So just, you know, thinking about that, thinking about how you can use this step to support you in moving forward and practicing boundaries. We actually have a listener on the call. Be interested to see, let me open up their mic. Hello, listener. Do you find that you have, are boundaries a new thing that you're practicing? with this step? Or is it something that you've already, that you're re-looking at?
Boundaries is something I have never really practiced very well in the past, and it's something that has come up in the last couple of months as something that I need to start setting, and I haven't really known how to approach it, so this is definitely a very new step for me.
Okay, so your awareness is there that boundaries need to be set, and you've moved into being willing to look at that and see what they need to be?
Yes. Yes. Awesome. I think part of it is that I wasn't willing to set boundaries before, and because I was afraid that they were going to cause an issue. But in hindsight, I can see that not having those boundaries caused more issues than, because setting boundaries can be uncomfortable, because the other person, you know, you might be afraid that they're not, that they won't understand the boundaries. And I know that I've seen that with you, with boundaries that you've been trying to set lately. But in hindsight, I can see that not setting any boundaries and trying to let, you know, let what happens, but that actually kind of backfired. So I'm definitely more willing to set boundaries now. And that's not something that I've ever really had to do in the past. And so it's definitely going to be a new step for me and something that I'm going to struggle with for a while.
Okay. Why? Okay, so when you say struggle, what does that bring forth?
Struggle in the sense of because it's new, so I'm not going to be sure not only what types of boundaries to set, but how to react to enforcing them if I ever have to enforce them. I'm not a very comfortable person with any kind of, and I hate to use the word confrontation because it's not really what it's about, but that's what it can feel like. I mean, like recently I had an experience at work where I was supposed to be negotiating with a vendor to get a better deal on services they were selling us and also to try to get a refund on services that they had overcharged us in the past. And my boss was being very proactive with the negotiation and very aggressive, and he was trying to push some of it onto me, and it made me very uncomfortable. And we were in the right. It wasn't our fault. It was the vendor's fault. And even then, I still felt uncomfortable, you know, basically demanding what they owed us. And that's just kind of part of my personality, is that I shy away from any kind of confrontation, even if it's not necessarily a bad confrontation or if it's not something that's, you know, it could be healthy to do, but it's just I don't know how to go through that process. So I think that's where my safe struggle, I think that's what I'm referring more to, is just how to deal with something that can be uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, part of our path to freedom is becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable, which is kind of a funny thing that Rhonda says, is becoming, you know, because how can you become comfortable with things that are uncomfortable? But it is a process, and it's not that you're necessarily comfortable, but it's not as much of a challenge sometimes. And I totally understand what you're saying. When your boundaries get challenged by someone else, it's not always easy to, especially at the beginning of the process, to stand up for yourself and to say, no, this is my boundary. And it's not that I don't want to help you, or I don't care for you, or I don't want to do a good job, or I don't, you know, want to show up, you know, if it's like a work thing or something. But this is what I've agreed to do, or this is my boundary, or this is what I can give at this time. And, you know, and really enforce that line that you've set for yourself. What do you think in your life at this time? What do you think are, you know, is one boundary that we could look at possibly and brainstorm ideas of how to support you in that?
Um, That's a good question, and not really sure how to answer it because things are kind of in flux right now. So I'm not really sure at this point what sort of boundaries are left to be set. But I don't know.
Okay,
I have an idea.
If you, what if you look at your work situation? Is there something there, like maybe? You know, what time you leave for work or how long you come home for lunch or what time you leave the office at night. Because those things tend to vary. And so if you wanted to, I mean, I'm not saying that that's necessarily somewhere you need to set a boundary, but that's a neutral area that we could look at.
That is actually an area that has come up recently because I've been going into work late quite a bit for various reasons, but the main thing was taking long lunch breaks for various reasons, you know, to help out because, you know, waiting for one of the kids to get home or helping you with running an errand or, you know, just whatever it was. It was something that I was willing to do once or twice a week, and it became something that I was doing 4 out of 5 days in the week. And so that's some place where I haven't wanted to hurt your feelings, but at the same time, I realized that this is not sustainable because it'll affect my standing at work, which in the long run hurts everyone. So, that is definitely one place.
So what would you like to set as your boundary for your work, for your lunch lunch schedule?
I think one thing we can start with is, you know, those days where because I know there will be days where I need to take a 2 or 3 hour lunch break. Those things come up. But we need to find a way to limit it to, say, once a week. And maybe part of the compromise there is that if I do end up doing that and take a 2 or 3 hour lunch break, that maybe another day during the week I don't take a lunch break. I stay in the office to make up the time so that, you know, so I feel like I'm giving my employer, you know, 100% of myself, that I'm being honest with the way that I handle my time with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your boundary will be that once a week you could take a long lunch break, but you would need to then lose a lunch break in that same week to make up for it.
Yes.
And then the rest of the days, it would just be an hour and you may come home or you may not.
Right.
Okay. So if you set that as a boundary, how can you then how do you think you could then present that in a way that would make the other person want to support you in keeping that boundary?
I mean, explaining that I'm not setting the boundary because I don't want to spend that time. I've enjoyed spending that time. It's more about protecting my status at work because at the end of the day, that's what we depend on, and I can't afford to, you know, be making myself an exception to the rule that everyone else is able to follow.
Okay. Now, you think if you presented it that way that someone would want to support you in keeping that boundary?
I hope so. If not, then, I mean, we can discuss how the other person feels and work towards a mutual understanding.
Well, that sounds great. So you're also involving connection, compassion, you're loving yourself as well as loving the other person and setting, I would say probably even keeping your intention. So you're involving all kinds of steps. I think that when we approach the person that might want us to be lax on our boundaries, they're not necessarily not wanting to support us. They're just either, you know, used to a certain level of, you know, of support from us, or, you know, maybe they're needing a little extra from time to time. And I think that the people that love us truly do want to support us. And if we go to them and say, you know, I've been thinking about this And I think it would really support me if you could help me in keeping, you know, my hour, my lunch hour to just an hour. If you could really support me in that, that would be really great, because that would make me feel better at work and I would feel more productive and I would feel less like, you know, someone was, you know, my boss was looking over my shoulder, looking over his shoulder at me or whatever it might be.
I feel more honest. Yeah.
Mhm. And you know, and I would really love your support in helping me with keeping this boundary. I think anyone that you go to with that type of an attitude, even if it's not something that they necessarily want, they do want to genuinely support you, and so they're going to try to do their best in supporting you in that new boundary. I think sometimes when it could be maybe a little bit more personal or maybe a little bit more of a, you know, flux kind of a relationship where things may not be out in the open and things, and they're asking for something that you feel like you need to set a boundary for, that can definitely get into a situation. But I think even with somebody like that, they're obviously wanting to be in a relationship with you. They're wanting, you know, your support. And so I think most people, if you approach the situation in a, can you please support me in this way, they're going to want to support you. It's not always going to go positive, but like you said, there's always, you know, if there is wiggle room or negotiation or compromise, then you can always bring that forth and say, okay, well, what is it that you're needing? And how can we both have a win-win situation where I'm keeping my boundary and you're getting the support that you're needing or whatever it might be?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that is true?
It's I like how you put that, because the part about the boundary, you know, showing that the person still wants, you know, to have the relationship with you, it's more a question of on what terms. And so, because boundaries get set on both sides. So mm-hmm. That's where you were talking about earlier with the, you know, the mutual understanding and the compassion. That's where that needs to come into play.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think boundaries can be a new thing probably for multiple people that you're dealing with. And as you're asking them to support you with boundaries, they're going to learn that they have boundaries of their own, and they're going to want you to help support them. And as you guys, as we all practice loving ourselves and setting boundaries and not judging ourselves and all those things, and we practice these steps of freedom, that, you know, all our awareness is going to deepen. We're going to get, you know, a bigger picture of what it is that we really need. And we're going to know, okay, this is something that I really need, or this is a line that I really need to draw. This is, you know, this is that, as we become more aware. And so it's a continued conversation that we have to have with the people that we love and that we have those relationships with that are really important to us, so that the relationship continues to grow and that there's open communication. And I really think that that's what boundaries are. It's being really honest about what you're able to give and what you want from the relationship. And the more aware we are, the more honest we can be about what that is. And, you know, if both parties are willing, you can use the 12 steps, or you can just, you know, stay open and have a conversation and really be able to communicate with each other what it is that you need to, what you need from them as support and what you're willing to give as support, so that the relationship can continue to go forward. And that's any kind of relationship. That's a boss-employee type of relationship. That's a child-parent relationship. That's a friend relationship, siblings, or, you know, whatever the case may be. We all have needs, and we all have, you know, need of support, because, as Rhonda said, no one can be fearless alone. So These are all conversations that we can have with our Fearbuster team or just the people around us or the people we interact with, because we all have these needs. We all need to set boundaries and we all need support. So, this tool can help us with every relationship we have.
Definitely. Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you for listening. If you haven't guessed yet, this is Jay, our faithful listener. we didn't introduce him when he first came on. But I think that as this year has progressed, and we're now, I can't even believe it, but we're in the 12th step, that, I just become more and more aware of what it is that I need, what it is that I can give, and when I need to stop giving. And I've had a really amazing year. My focus this year was decluttering my life and my home so that there was room for other things to come in. And I've had so many amazing adventures this year, and I've learned how to live in the present moment and surrender and look at possibilities and trust myself more and have passion for my life again and for my coaching practice and for my kids and my friends and family. And this month we're focusing on loving ourselves, and that is something that I definitely am welcoming into my space. Because it's something that I definitely need to practice every single day. And I think it's something that we all need to practice every single day. It might be easier for some than others, but it's definitely something we need to practice every single day of loving ourselves and whatever that might look like. If it's a morning routine or a nightly routine, or if it's, allowing ourselves, one piece of chocolate a day, whatever it is that we do to show ourselves that we love ourselves and we appreciate ourselves. And I think that is really a good thing to focus on this month. What are those things that support you? I mean, I know Terry gave us a homework of writing down 100 loving acts that we can do. And I still haven't sat down and really started writing them down. I did start. I have a few. But not 100. But I really think that would support us in having this amazing month of us loving ourselves. And loving ourselves is only going to make us love those around us more, because we will be so full of love that it will just overflow from us onto the people around us. And so I really encourage all of us to do that, to write down that list of 100 loving acts that we can do for ourselves, because when we love ourselves, I think all things become possible. And so I would really encourage you, Jay, to do that as well as our listener, and see what those things are, because maybe you think of something, but it would be even more powerful if someone else did that for you as well, or with a different intensity or something. And so you learn even more about yourself and what you can ask from those people around you. Maybe a loving act is allowing yourself, a girl's night out. Well, to have a night out, you have to have those friends around you to do it. So, asking for that support that you're needing. But we are coming to a close. It always comes so quickly. But I thank you, Jay, for being on the call tonight. I appreciate your help so that I wasn't talking to myself the entire time. Also, we'll be coming back next week with another week of love. We'll be doing that actually from Arizona, because we will still be at our coaching retreat Monday. It ends Monday. So we'll be coming at you from Arizona next week, and we appreciate and love all of you that come and listen. If you have any questions, of course, always ask us on our Facebook page or our website. And as always, have a fearless week. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you next week.
Good talk, Kelly.
I hadn't ended the call yet, Mom.